Hello, everyone. My name is Bo Fournette, and I have just the privilege of serving as an elder. My wife and I, Natalie and our six kids, generally worship down at the Dallas campus, and Connor's given me the privilege to speak for a couple of minutes this morning, or this evening, on a topic that I was excited to talk about, and then when Todd spoke with Travis and Roland and Janine and they shared their story, I got more excited about the topic because it's leadership. And in each of those stories, you heard about leadership, be it Roland's kids that were just saying, hey, come and see, and just speaking about the opportunity to be a part of the body of Christ. And Travis, who was just weary in his community group, just reminding him of the truths of God and leading him. And with Janine, just learning how to lead yourself by knowing God's word and just reminding yourselves of the promises of God and others coming around her is what we're talking about. This week, one of the guys in our community group, David Leventhal, sent us a note. He was just studying through 2 Timothy and sent us his summary of what he learned. He shared three things that we've heard already today. He said this is what Paul told Timothy leaders do. The first thing he said was that you have sound doctrine, that you know God's word. The second thing he talked about is that you have sound living, that you live out what it is that you're taught. And the third thing is that as you live for God and as you know God's word, it affects how you treat others, how you engage with people. And that's leadership. We around here, we often say, be and make disciples. Right, and to be a disciple, we have to know God's word, we have to live God's word, and to make disciples, we got to love people, and we love people by living out God's word. And so today, I just want to remind people about leadership at Watermark and then introduce you to some people that are going to be leading with us in Frisco. And so as leaders, we recognize with a large body, we have to go back to God's word and what it tells us to do. And so you see in Exodus 18 with Moses and then again in Acts 6 with the elders where they were trying to figure out how to do everything and there was simply more to be done than any one person could do. And what they did was they appointed people, they called them deacons, we call them servant leaders, to go about loving people, being and making disciples in the body of Christ as the elders devoted themselves to prayer and to the word. And so we call them on our campuses, campus shepherds. But in our community groups, we call them servant leaders. If you're leading a community group, you would be a deacon, or as we say, a servant leader. If you're leading in regen or reengage, if you're leading with children's ministry, that's what you're doing. You're being and making disciples. And on each campus, we've done this in Plano and in Fort Worth, and now we're doing it in Frisco. We've asked a handful of men to come alongside the staff leader on the campus and be campus shepherds. And these are men that are getting together, praying for our campus, helping our staff make decisions around how to make sure we would honor Christ in everything we do on our campus. And then as we have care and correction, where things are difficult, they're jumping in and helping community groups make sure that we do with one another what we promise to do one another. And if you watched last week, you saw what our promises are to love one another in communities. So that's what our campus shepherds do. And so I'd like to introduce you to the men that we've asked to lead with us with Frisco. And so, Connor, if you could come up first, and you know Connor, who's going to be our staff lead, and I had the privilege of meeting Connor, and you see his family here, Allie and Ramsey, and I had the privilege of meeting Connor about 4 years ago. Our families went to Israel together, and I just really got a great glimpse into Connor just being a man that's committed to being and making disciples. From just leading us, I remember with the Sermon on the Mount, where he helped us by reciting the entire thing by memory. It's just he's a man who's committed to the word. And then some of our kids were unruly, and I still remember where he just grabbed all the boys at dinner and said, hey, let's do a time in God's word tomorrow morning. And we all got together with these boys, including my unruly sons, and just went through God's word. And he just reminded them lovingly but firmly that they were not following God's word and how they were engaging with one another on this trip. And just leadership. And Allie's been a privilege being a part of our family 2 years ago for a year and just seeing how she just loves God and how that affects how she loves people. And so we're excited about Connor leading. And then David Zena, if he could come up here, is another man that I've had the privilege of getting to know. David was on our Dallas campus for a long time, and I constantly heard great things about David. And then a mutual friend of ours who was training for a marathon asked if we would train together. And so we were making loops around White Rock Lake, which if you've ever done that, somewhere between an hour and a half or 2 hours per loop. And we were getting about four loops a weekend and just running together. And the thing that encouraged me most with David when we were doing that, it's just his deep authenticity, which is something as we're going through on the community core values that you'll hear more about. And I've just been grateful for David and Robin and their family and how they've just been jumping in. He's led in community down in Dallas for several years, and we're excited that he's going to be leading in Frisco as one of our lay leaders. And then the last one's going to be leading is Kyle Thompson, who is going to be speaking this morning. And here's Kyle and Lucina and their son and daughter and son-in-law. And so Kyle was an elder for us from 2001 until 2017. And I had the privilege of my second service that Natalie and I came to at Watermark in May of 2001. Criswell College was when the elders of our church were installed, our first elders, and Kyle was one of them. And I could honestly say, with zero hyperbole, that when I think of the men that I admire most in our body, who just challenged me by their deed and by their word, their love for Christ, I could not put a name higher than Kyle's. He is not in the role of elder anymore, or the office of elder, but he is an elder here and leading with us. And he's committed to serving with David and Connor as we build out the body. And we are really excited and look forward to them pouring in with their families and to your families and as we go out and try to be the church in Frisco. And so with that, David, if you wouldn't mind praying for us.
Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the love that you have for us. And Father, sometimes it is so hard to understand just how great and how magnificent and how wonderful it is. But Father, you give us your word, you give us your spirit, and you give us your people that reveal that to us every day. And Father, forgive us when we don't recognize it. Forgive us when we try and find satisfaction in anything but you and your son. And Father, may our heart, just like in Jeremiah 15, where it talks about just your words are a joy to us. Father, may that be our heart's desire. And Father, I pray as we hear about community, that we are drawn to just take a look at our own lives where we are living in isolation and we need to come out and share some things that are going on or areas that we can encourage and love one another in the way that you love us through your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Bo. You're a real blessing to us and to our church. I'm going to have you pop that picture back up for me, and I'll tell you a little bit more about my family. So Jordan in the middle is 29, and Jordan is actually on staff with Watermark at the Dallas campus. And our daughter is in the green with her husband, John and Audrey Burks. They've been married 6 years. They are members at the Dallas campus and serve in the merge area. And of course, my wife, I don't want to skip her. I meant to do her first. We've been married 36 years. And so it's been a sweet journey for us. You know, it's funny when I look at that picture, it looks like we have it all together. And the reality is that there was a time where I was doing things that was leading to the destruction of my family. And I loved hearing those stories earlier because I can relate. And destruction in the same way this guy was doing things leading to the destruction of his family. I'm going to show you a video. And so I want you to watch this.
Good morning, everybody out there. Steve, Tom. Good
morning. It's the morning show with Brian Stevenson.
And also coming up this half
good
hour.
Good morning. It's up and going today, 90 for you.
Good morning, everyone. It is 7 o'clock here in Canyonland, USA. And this morning, on the boulder, we have a very special guest, self-proclaimed American superhero, Aaron Ralston! Let's hear it for Aaron!
Hey. Hi. Oh, gosh, it's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, can I say hi to my mom and dad?
Mom and dad?
Mustn't forget mom and dad, right, Aaron? Yeah, that's right. Hey, Mom. I'm really sorry I didn't answer the phone the other night. If I had, I would have told you where I was going, and then... Well, I probably wouldn't be here right now.
That's for sure. But like I always say, your supreme selfishness is our gain. Thank you, Aaron. Anyone else you'd like to say hi to?
Well, Brian at work.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, I probably won't be making it into work today.
Get a load of this guy. Oh, wait, hold on. We've got a question coming in from another Aaron in Loser Canyon, Utah.
Aaron asks, am I right in thinking that even if Brian from work notifies the police, they'll put a 24-hour hold on it before they file a missing persons report, which means you won't become officially missing until midday Wednesday at the earliest.
Yeah, you're right on the money there, Aaron.
Which means I'll probably be dead by then.
Aaron from Loser Canyon, Utah. How do you know so much?
Well, I'll tell you how I know so much. I volunteer for the rescue service. You see, I'm something of a big, hard hero. I can do everything on my own, you see?
I do see.
Now, is it true that despite, or maybe because you're a big, f***ing hard hero, you didn't tell anyone where you were going? Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Anyone? Oops. Oops.
Well, I don't know how many of you know that story, but that is a true story of Aaron Ralston. And he nearly died because of the ways that he was operating in isolation. And, I love just the clarity of just his declaration and reality of that. He was hiking alone, didn't tell anybody where he was going, fell into a canyon. When he fell, a boulder fell and pinned his arm so that he was trapped down deep in that cavern. And Aaron ended up having to sever his arm to be able to survive. And I'm not going to go into detail about how he did that. I'm kind of weak stomached anyway. But the thing that struck me when I saw that was just that was me. I pretty much felt like I knew how to do things, and I didn't need any help. And I really led a life of isolation that almost led to the death of every relationship that was important to me. And, you know, Proverbs 18:1 was a verse that I knew was there, but I didn't really understand the reality of it and the fact that I was a model of that. Just that he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. And Aaron and I are a real testimony to that, because you see just how isolation leads to death and how connection leads to life. And so as you guys saw last week, Todd wrapped up that series that he had done on how to be rich. and really talked about, you know, the richness that God has for us in the context of biblical community. And this afternoon, I want to talk about and drill down a little bit more on three aspects of that for me. Number one, just what I didn't know about community. Number two, what I now know about community. And lastly, a little bit more about what community looks like in my life. Lucene and I were part of the original Watermark membership class back in 2000. And, you know, I loved what Todd did because it reminds me just of the, you know, this group, just of the intimacy and the opportunity that we had. And when we jumped in, I had been a believer for 20 years, but this whole community aspect of Watermark Community Church was just a brand new concept to me. And, you know, I operated and had operated for a long time without community in my life. And so that was really a function of the fact that I didn't know what it was. And that may be true of some of you that are here. You know, Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And it's so easy for me to rely on my wisdom and, you know, a way that seems right in a way that I'm deluded and don't realize the path of destruction that I'm headed down. And so I want to walk you through just what some of the consequences were really for me living an isolated life for 20 years. Number one, my relationship with Christ was really defined by church attendance. And we were members of a church. We were members of a Sunday school class. And so we did the Sunday school class socializing. And what I didn't understand was that relationship with Christ should inform every aspect of my life. And I don't fault the church that we were a part of for that because it's clear in God's word. But I was just living in a way that was isolated and wasn't hearing that. My marriage was hanging by a thread just for a lot of reasons. But the root cause of that was just the fact that I was not loving and cherishing Lucina, but rather I was more focused on manipulating her and controlling her and making sure that our marriage, you know, looked like it was supposed to when you go to church and are in Sunday school class. That was really my focus. I had a dysfunctional relationship with our kids. I was focused very similarly on controlling the kids instead of loving and shepherding their hearts. I was really concerned about, you know, who their friends were and what teams they played on and making sure that they had the right teachers and just a multitude of things like that. Business was just an emotional roller coaster for me. My peace and joy were largely a function of just how my business was going and really more specifically what oil prices were. And so I was just riding that roller coaster, recognizing that a lot of my hope was put in just how things were going financially. The amazing thing is I met with a group of men every week for 12 years. Okay, every Thursday morning, we'd get together at 6:30 and we'd have coffee and what we called Bible study. And these were good guys. But the reality was we had kind of made a deal with each other and we really had no idea what was going on in each other's lives. It was really just surface relationships. And I later learned, years later, through connecting and staying in touch with some of these guys, there were issues of pornography that were going on, deep addiction to pornography. There were we had a guy come in one Thursday morning, and he said, "Hey, I need to let you guys know so you can pray for me. My wife just filed for divorce." And I was like, "Man, we've never talked about your marriage at all. I didn't even know you were having marriage problems." But it gives you a picture of just the dysfunction. There were major issues we just didn't bring up. And I had heard the term community, but I didn't understand what it was, and I didn't understand the biblical basis for it. And I'm so thankful as we jumped in that my eyes were open in a way that led to me now knowing what community is. And you can tell that it's a big part of the foundation of how we operate as God's church and what he intends. And so community, a working definition that I think is good to use, is just it's being connected with others in our church in authentic relationships that then lead to spiritual transformation. Or said another way, it's having friends that are committed to following Jesus with you. They know you, they love you, they encourage you, they comfort you, they forgive you, and they remind you of God's best for you. And I know, just talking to a number of you, that many of you have been in community and you're familiar with it. But, you know, I always think about the fact that we all, I know I do, and all of us have ground to take in this area. I've got to be intentional. Just like, even though I've been married for 36 years, I've got ground to take. There's ways that I can be intentional to continue to deepen and refine that relationship. And I would say that the health of our Frisco campus is going to be directly tied to the health of our community groups. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The health of our Frisco campus is going to be directly tied to the health of our community groups. A few of the verses that are in that book that Connor passed out and that you'll hear us repeat, there's a multitude of verses where God reinforces, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, this concept of community. But one of my favorites is Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12, where it just says, "Hey, Solomon, who lived an isolated life, looking back, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another one to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep one warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart." And I love that picture of a cord of three strands because it reminds me that in the same way the strands are overlaid in a way that when you step back, you really can't distinguish what that cord is made up of. And in the same way, my life, our lives need to be so overlaid in every area that there's not any part of my area that the folks in my community don't know about, aren't aware of. And we obviously last week with that panel, we talked about that. And that's my role as a spouse, my role as a parent, role as a neighbor and a friend and a coworker, but most importantly, just the people that are in community with me knowing about my struggles and my thought life. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, another verse that we use often. It talks about the importance of biblical community. "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day draw near." You know, encouragement is so critical. And sometimes we can be so focused on sharpening each other that we forget just the role that God has for us to encourage each other every day, day after day, so that we won't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so, this is a big part of how we get to walk through life together, just celebrating the ground that we're taking, you know, celebrating the things that God's teaching us, the way he's exposing and transforming us. And so I'm gonna give you a very brief overview of the six core values of community. And these are the things that are laid out in that book that Connor mentioned earlier. And we're going to go into detail over the next weeks in July. You're going to hear us teach on every one of those six core values in an extended way and really unpack those. So I'm just going to very briefly touch on them right now and give you one of the verses that is the backbone of each of those values. And so first of all is devoting daily, John 15:5. It's where Jesus says, hey, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And what Jesus is saying there is, hey, our daily deepening in our relationship with Christ is going to be the basis of everything that flows out of us. Every aspect of our walk is going to be based on our daily intimacy and abiding with Christ. And so all of the other five core values of community really flow out of that daily devotion and deepening. Number two, pursue relationally. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love and give preference to one another in honor. Again, this is the concept of pursuing deep relationships that are based on love and acceptance. And, you know, for me, another aspect of that is just being intentional to pray for the people that I'm in community with and working to have an idea of how to pray for them and knowing what they have going on each week. And so, you know, it's really helpful. If I don't know what you have going on, then it's hard for me to pray for you. And so there's a multitude of ways I can do that by just asking questions and listening as you talk. Counsel biblically. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. And so this is, again, another critical aspect of how we walk through life together, that we offer and receive biblical counsel in all areas of our life. And, you know, I'm accountable for the ways that I lead you astray with the wisdom that I have that's not rooted in Scripture. And this is really how I operated for 20 years. I felt like, you know, I've got pretty good common sense, and you know, I pretty much have an idea of the principles in Scripture. And so when someone asks me a question, I give them what I think on that particular topic. And the reality was is that a lot of what I would say was not biblical. And early on, when we were in community together, we made a commitment that, hey, you know what, just to be careful, and because people think that are going to think that we're wise, we need to not say anything unless what we say, we can give chapter verse of where that comes from out of Scripture. Ideally, we give them Scripture, but at least we can point to where that wisdom came from. And what I found was is that I didn't have a whole lot to say. I wanted to say things because I knew what I thought about that topic, but I didn't know in my Bible where that came from, or if it was really in my Bible. Was it just a, you know, one of these many pithy sayings? You know, God helps those who help themselves and all that good stuff. So But it was so great for me because what I would do is I would take notes and I would go home and I would try to figure out, okay, this is the topic we're talking about. Where in my Bible does it speak to that? And I started to learn my Bible. I did my own index at the back of the Bible. And when I was reading scripture, when I saw that it spoke to an issue, I would write that down also so that I knew when that topic came up, I can refer back to it. You know, if somebody said, hey, what is the role of angels? Well, I can look back and I've got a whole index, a number of verses where I can go to. And so I would just encourage you to use this as an opportunity to get to know your Bible. And if you don't, if you already know your Bible, get to know it better. And so I still will try to just mentally do this when things come up, try to think chapter, verse before I say anything. Next, live authentically. James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And again, this is just sharing our struggles in ways that God is exposing and growing us. Admonish faithfully, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And I love that verse because it you see that admonishment is really wrapped up in encouragement. And, you know, this is often hard, but it is so necessary. And I look back, and I'm so thankful that the men in my life and their wives have loved me enough to admonish me. And, you know, Lucene and I are really in the middle right now of a situation with our community where they're on a particular aspect of our lives, they're admonishing us. And it's always hard for me. But I'm thankful that I have people that love me and that are willing to help me. And then lastly, engaging missionally. It's Matthew 28:19-20, where we go to all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, again, to observe all that I've commanded you, God's word, and know that I'm with you always until the end of the age. And so this is just engaging intentionally with the neighbors and just all the people God puts across our path, folks that we meet through our kids' school, folks in business, wherever we might be. And so, you know, it's a great way for me and Lucina to keep our community updated of the people that we're engaging with and trying to be intentional to love and just how they can pray for us in the context of that. And you've often heard us say, if you've been here long, that as a church, everything we do is centered on discipleship. And community is the primary way that we make disciples because we're discipling each other as we shepherd each other. You heard Bo mention earlier just how, you know, the elders are responsible for caring for the flock. That's really all the members of the church. And there's a multitude of ways that they do that. But the primary way is making sure that everyone's part of biblical community so that we ensure that everyone is cared for. And at minimum, I'm responsible for the folks that are in my community group. And so I've got primary accountability for that. And our structure is really to help train, equip our community groups and provide resources as a group needs help or wisdom in an area that they've not tackled before, then we bring others in and widen the circle and make sure that everybody has help in every group as it's needed. And it's one thing to know, you know, what biblical community is, but I have to put it to action. And which leads to really my third point of what community looks like for me. And I'm a radically different person than I was 19 years ago because of the ways God has used community to grow me and expose me and shape me. And I shared a few of those last week when I was on the panel related to conflict and stewardship. But four other specific areas of my life that have been greatly impacted. Number one, my relationship with Christ. You know, first and foremost, I realized that it was far more than just showing up on Sunday, that I've got to be committed to daily deepening and just walking in intimacy with Christ, to be in His Word, to allow Scripture to run through my heart, to be convicted, to exercise the disciplines that God gives us in following Christ. Secondly, my marriage. God radically transformed me and Lucina in our marriage, and I realized it was so much more than just a ring on my finger, but an incredible relationship that takes work every day. Lucina and I have gotten to experience just the richness in marriage, again, mainly because I had men that finally just sat me down, and I started to confess things that I had hidden from her for years that I just never dealt with. I kept in the back closet locked. And there were other things that I didn't know that were blind spots that they loved me enough to help me with, so that now I can serve and love and cherish Lucina just in the ways that God intended. And as a result, we get to experience the fruit and the sweetness of what God intended for us in marriage. My parenting, I began to realize that my goal in parenting was not to control behavior, but to love and shepherd our kids' hearts. And it just transformed my relationship with our kids in a way that they actually want to spend time with me. I loved that they actually set up this morning a time for us to go to spin class and then have breakfast together. And I just thought, hey, I'll do anything. My kids invite me, I'm in. I don't care what it is. And so just the sweetness of relationship where you're pursuing each other. About 13 years ago when Jordan was 16 years old, and so it was early into this process of transformation, and, you know, I realized that just things were still hard. It was not going well. And I sat Jordan down. He and I left the house and went to Starbucks, and we sat down, and I just said, hey, Jordan, I want to be a great dad for you. And it seems like I constantly frustrate you. And I don't want that to define our relationship. And I want to just tell you, I've never been a dad of a teenage young man before, and so I don't really know what I'm doing. I've got wise men in my life helping me, but I need to know from you what you think I should do different. And then I had a pad of paper and a pen and a cup of coffee. And I said, I want to listen because I know you want me to be a great dad for you. And so I'm all ears. And that led to a series of great conversations for me and Jordan that really evolved in just a deepening of our relationship. It allowed me to shepherd our daughter, Audrey, and specifically my now son-in-law through courtship and marriage. So about 9 years ago, a young man approached me, asked me if I'd have coffee with him, and let me know that he was interested in pursuing my daughter. And she was at A&M, it was so great because I let him know just how encouraged I was that he initiated, that he came to me, and that my goal was going to be to help him and encourage him. But I expected all of my information to come from him. I didn't want to keep up with a relationship from Audrey. I expected him to keep me updated. And that I it was a win-win deal for him, that I was either going to help him become a great young man that might eventually be my son-in-law, or help him to become a great young man for some other young woman as her husband. And so we'd talk about how he was leading in the relationship. We would talk about boundaries and how he was doing. We'd talk about purity in his life. And I would tell him, hey, any question I ask, you can ask me also. So, you know, this will be a two-way conversation. You're going to learn more about me. And I wanted to know what God was teaching him through Scripture. And as that relationship progressed, it got to a point where I realized, okay, this could result in him asking me if he could have for permission to marry Audrey. And I told him, I said, look, and by now he really kind of knew this. I said, hey, if you get to the point that you ask me if you can marry Audrey, then you now know enough to know that there's three other men in my life that are going to speak into that decision. And by the way, they're going to be initiating with you because they have skin in the game, because their focus is to make sure I'm the dad that God wants me to be. And this is probably the biggest transaction, apart from a commitment to follow Christ, in giving my daughter away. And so yeah, I got guys that are helping me. And I just look back and just how great it was, but also just the opportunity that gave me to build a great foundation and relationship with John that we still have to this day. And then lastly, just my business, realizing, hey, that's a platform for me to minister every day, and that every value that I have is on display. Again, you know, Todd mentioned, folks are going to see Christ through the way I live, and they're going to hear me and know who I am by the way I love and engage with them. And so in closing, you know, there may be some of you out there that are like me that didn't really understand what biblical community is and what God has for us through community. And so I would just say, hey, ask yourself, who are the people that are in my life, and do they really know my struggles? Do they know my thought life? Do they know the real condition of my marriage? Are they pursuing me? Am I pursuing them? Am I praying for them? Do they know how to pray for me? Do they know what issues I'm facing this week? And just take an inventory of, man, how are you doing in that regard? And as we move forward, you know, if you're not in community or in a community group, again, you've heard us talk about this. You know that this is going to be the primary aspect of connection for us as part of God's church in Frisco through Watermark. And Connor and the other staff are giving us a lot of opportunities to declare, hey, I'm ready to jump in to community. And so, man, take action. Don't wait. Jump in. And then lastly, I would just say, hey, if you're here and you have not understood God's unconditional love for you and his provision for you to have relationship with him by grace through faith, that's the most important thing. And so we would love to talk to you. We'd love to walk through that with you. And the fact that he loves us regardless of our past and regardless of our present situation, that there's no condemnation as we come to Christ. And so in closing, I just want to remind you of Aaron Ralston, that he lost his arm and nearly his life because he was living in isolation. He wasn't connected. And just like Aaron, I nearly lost everything that was dear to me. My marriage, my kids, my business. But because I was just deluded and I was living in isolation and didn't understand the consequences. Just doing what I thought was right. And so I just tell you, if that's where you are, just don't take the same risk that I did. And if that is where you are, then take action, and we want to help you. So, Father, I do thank you just for the ways that you designed us for relationship. And just as we talked about, first and foremost, you designed us for relationship with you through Christ. But at the same time, just one of the primary provisions that you have for us as we walk through life together is relationship with each other. And so I thank you for the way, as we know you, that your Spirit dwells in us, that we have your Word in a way that we can truly help and love and encourage each other. And just the fact that we're always going to do that imperfect, that we're all sinners, that we all are in desperate need of you, that we need to constantly walk by the Spirit so that we don't carry out the deeds of the flesh. And just help us to do that in a way that we extend grace to each other, we love each other, we encourage each other, and just we learn from each other. I thank you for the way that you give us hope because of the hope that we have through Christ, and the way you just encourage us even through stories. Father, help us to just constantly be sharing our stories of transformation, the stories of life, and just the stories of how you rescue us, and more importantly, the stories of the way we need you every day just because of the burdens of life. And so again, just thank you for the fun and excitement of jumping into church together, just the ways that we get to be the church in Frisco. And Father, help us just to be your light in a way that shines brightly. And we thank you for the way you love us through Christ. Amen.